Welcome to the official companion podcast series to the Showmax original series, Catch Me a Killer. If you're coming across this companion podcast for the first time, this is the eighth and final installment and covers Catch Me a Killer, episode 10. If you haven't listened to the other companion podcasts, or heaven forbid, started watching the Showmax original Catch Me a Killer yet, you need to do that first and come back. If you're all caught up and ready to go, let's do it. It's been a wild, fascinating, and terrifying ride, but we're sadly at the end of Catch Me a Killer. The final episode of the series covers another serial killer I've not yet covered on the podcast, and was actually a case I haven't really heard much about until seeing it on the series and doing some more research after that. Just goes to show how deep and dark our South African serial killer world really is. The serial killer featured in the final episode of Catch Me a Killer is Velapi Ndlagamandla, who was dubbed the Saloon Killer. The killer got that moniker because of the weapon he used in his crimes, a .22 caliber rifle, which was nicknamed the Saloon. This alone makes this killer stand out among South African serial killers, because our serial killers very rarely use guns. I'll get into that a little bit later in the episode, and why that is. Before that, though, let's get a rundown of Velapi Ndlagamandla's crimes. In retrospect, it would become clear that the crime series of Ndlagamandla started in April 1997 in Piet Retief, when the man had broken into a resident's home and stolen a .22 caliber rifle, among other household items. Soon after, a series of murders began which would terrify residents and befuddle the police service for some time. The first victim to be killed was a security guard at a local business who was shot during a break-in he attempted to foil. After this, the killer began to branch out into residential areas in and around Piet Retief, and it soon became clear that he was now killing for pleasure, and anything he stole was simply by chance. Over the next year and 4 months, 20 people were murdered and another 11 were wounded. The modus operandi of the killer always remained the same. He surprised either individuals in their homes, or occasionally in shebeens, or those walking on the side of the road, and shot them with a .22 caliber rifle. On many occasions, the killer burst into homes in the middle of the night, killing or wounding the residents, and then stealing their food. A detective, trained in serial investigations, was called in relatively soon, but the killer took a 3-month break, and the detective returned to his original posting. But the killer would soon be back with even greater force than before. Finally, in May 1998, a task force was assembled to hunt the killer. Several suspects were brought in for questioning, but the killer remained elusive and continued to kill. It would eventually be an informant that would provide police with a tip that they needed to identify the killer. The man, whose nickname was Soldier, had been living among his victims in a village on the outskirts of Piet Retief. He was arrested and taken to trial, where he was convicted of 19 murders and handed down 20 life sentences. In her profile of the killer, Mickey Pistorius said that she believed the killer either had been in the army or he had aspirations of being a soldier. Velapi had not been in the army or any sort of military group, but he had always harbored serious aspirations to become a soldier. He often wore a military-style jacket, and his aspirations were so well known that he'd earned himself the nickname Soldier. This, of course, fit with his weapon of choice for his crimes, which, as I mentioned earlier, is actually pretty rare in South African serial killers. Although today our street gangs and organized crime syndicates are unfortunately flooded with illegal weapons, and it's not terribly difficult to get hold of an illegal gun if you want to. In the 90s, stolen police weapons, which are one of the biggest reasons our organized criminals are now armed, had not yet flooded the streets. But Velapi was able to gain access to a weapon through a robbery, and that changed everything for him and countless victims. South African serial murderers do not often use guns in their crimes because they either don't have access to them because of financial means or availability, or their fantasy just involves other types of murder weapons. Often we see our serial killers swapping between different weapons and methods of killing in the same series, strangling, bludgeoning with whatever heavy object is nearby. But very often, though, when these killers become armed with an actual weapon like a panga, a knife, or a gun, their murders become far more brutal. Not just because they can do more damage with those weapons, but because the weapons themselves empower the killers. Sometimes coming into possession of a gun, for instance, is the very reason a killer starts killing. We saw this in the so-called Norwood Rapist and Murderer series with offender Kobus Geldenhuys. Although Geldenhuys did commit murder on one occasion 2 years before his series started in earnest, he claims that this murder was accidental, which, although unlikely, did seem to stall him long enough to reconsider his actions for a while. When he restarted his violent crimes 2 years later, he started with housebreaking. He would later tell psychologists that although he'd noticed there was an opportunity for rape during those housebreakings when the residents were home, it was when he'd received a gun as a police officer that he felt empowered enough to begin his most violent of crimes. This started with rape and quickly escalated to murder. Geldenhuys spoke of the weapon as an extension of himself, and it was clear that his feelings of inadequacy that had perhaps stopped him from committing violent crime up until then had been eliminated when he'd held the weapon in his hands. It was an incredibly dangerous boost to his confidence. And of course, we see exactly the same with Velapi. He admitted that as soon as he had a gun in his possession, it became an extension of him and felt incredibly empowering. He'd allegedly contracted a sexually transmitted infection when he'd been previously imprisoned, and he claimed that this had given him erectile issues. Pistorius feels that the rifle had become a psychological replacement for his penis, and when he killed his victims, regardless of whether they were male or female, his mind linked this to a sexual satisfaction. Sexually motivated crimes can present differently, and this is an interesting take on that. One would not necessarily look at Velapi's crimes and see a sexual element, but it was there, albeit deeply hidden. Although gun crimes in South Africa are devastating and a huge contributor to our murder rates, they remain an incredibly rare occurrence in serial murders. And perhaps for that we should be grateful. But it really does speak predominantly to the psychology behind serial murder. It's not simply about the act of killing efficiently, for want of a better word. Instead, it is about the act of power and control behind the murder. And often, that is more powerfully achieved for a killer through hands-on means. Before closing off this series of companion podcasts to Catch Me a Killer, I wanted to take a moment to honour the woman behind the series, and of course the book on which it's based, Dr. Mickey Pistorius. Mickey pioneered profiling in South Africa, and even in the world. She worked these cases at a time when our country was deep in the crux of change, and she really was often fighting an uphill battle in a male-dominated work field. But during the time she worked at the SAPS, She held her head up high and helped to capture multiple serial offenders who were slaughtering innocent citizens. As she's spoken about before, and as she's written about in her books, she paid an incredibly high personal price for this dedication and work. When she left the SAPS, she left behind a legacy of detectives she trained who were skilled enough to continue the work of identifying serial killers and bringing them to justice. She played a huge role in making South Africa one of the best nations in the world at catching serial offenders, and her name will always be synonymous with the powerful female mind who bravely entered where few dared to go. Dr. Mickey Pistorius, we salute you. A huge thank you to Showmax for allowing me to expand on your incredible original series, Catch Me a Killer. I hope you found value in the companion podcasts, and you can definitely look forward to more of these in the future. For now, I'm signing off. Thank you for listening, and I'll chat to you soon.